So this is part 34 of a Mirz Hashem 49-part series about Torah and its development and its personalities. I took a break for a day or two. Talk about Kabbalah and Chassidus. We're obviously running out of time. Maybe we'll continue this even after Sfiras Omer. But for now, we are in the 13th century. Remember, we spoke about monumental 12th century Mishonim, one who lived in France, Rabbi Yaakov, the grandson of Rashi, and Rabbi Yaakov was called Rabbeinu Tam, and one who, of course, lived in southern Spain and then in Egypt, the Rambam, Rabbeinu Moshe ben Nachman. So now we're beginning the 13th century, the end, tail end of the 12th century, 1194, Rabbeinu Moshe ben Nachman. Ramban, of course, as we know him, is born in Girona, in Spain. And it's interesting. What I think is interesting about the Ramban is twofold, let's say. On the one hand, he could be seen just by his sheer learning and Torah production. And he would be one of the most staggeringly important personalities of this great period of the Rishonim. We just took a look at who he taught, what he wrote, how he wrote, and how his writings influenced. And then it's almost as if he had a second career, as if you're dealing with two totally different people. On the other hand, he's involved in three major, I would call them events of that era. So let's try to discuss this along two different dimensions. So dimension number one, he's a prodigious writer who writes numerous genres. It's hard to conjure, even the Rambam. Rambam genre, I talked about the other time, the consistency, you always hear the same voice in the Rambam. Not so with the Ramban. So, for example, his major work, known to most, is the Ramban al-Atar. It's literally an encyclopedia of Jewish ideas. Now, after, I always caution people, don't expect to read the Ramban and have these great flashes. There's no one moment in which it's an amazing, there are pieces, or you could probably itemize probably the 50 most important Rambans on the Torah. But read every piece as if it's a small incremental building block and this great wall of what we believe. In fact, my Rebbe, Rebbe Lichtenstein, once said, and he's very often associated or identified with the Rambam because of his brisker pedigree, he once said if he were stuck on a desert island, it could only bring one safe, it would be the Ramban on the Torah. So it's encyclopedic, it's panoramic, it's comprehensive. Of course, his Parash on Shas is foundational. It's major difference when you're learning a Masechta with the Ramban and a Masechta without the Ramban. He writes Svarim of a more philosophical and theological bent about Olam Haba and Schar V'Onesh, so and faith and providence and Ashkacha, Mura Bitachon is one sefer Hageula about redemption, Shar Hagamul, about reward and punishment. He writes Perushim on selected parts of Tanakh, on Shir HaShirim, on Eov. He writes a monumental sefer called Torah Adam about the end of life, which weaves together halacha as well as machshava. Very, very important sefer. He writes Svarim on philosophy. He writes Svarim on Kabbalah. He writes a sefer on Sefer Yetzirah. So just the sheer sweep and diversity of genre that he writes is extremely, extremely unique and extremely impressive. And he displays, of course, not just his commanding Torah knowledge, but also his knowledge of the world, which we would call science. It's hard to know where he studied, but he writes about this in his introduction to his parish on the Torah, his vast knowledge. He practices as a doctor. We have Masoras that he practices as a doctor. So there's that whole piece to him. And as part of his scholarship and his Torah teaching, again, his Rebbeim, mentioned this earlier, similar to Rashi, similar to the Rambam, his Rebbeim were Rebbeinu Yehuda Bar Yochai, Rebbeinu Natan, but it's clear that he eclipses it. It's clear. But he starts the golden age of Spanish, as we would call them, Sephardic Rishonim. His two Talmidim are three Talmidim, because there are the Rashba, the Yehuda Bar Yochai, quasi-Talmud, they were actually related, they were more contemporaries of Bar Yochai, and then the Ritva comes from his base medrash. The Ran comes from his base medrash. So he starts a tradition, and he's seen as this, the leader or the originator of Spanish Torah, again, leading up to the unfortunate events of the late 15th century. So you have this entire personality in just the Torah he writes. What's fascinating about the Torah is that he's a real synthesizer. Always was intrigued by his personality. So in his Parashat Latar, he synthesizes Rashi, who's much more poetically licensed. And the Ibn Ezra is much more strict grammarian. He, even in Parashat Latar, he synthesizes rational ideas and esoteric ideas. So very often you'll see in the middle of his Parashat Latar, Vapi HaEmes. And the word Emes doesn't mean the truth. The word Emes means Api Kabbalah. And then he goes off into Kabbalah. In his Parashat Gemara, he synthesizes the Gaonim. We talked about the Gaonim and their traditions, and people like the Rambam were less attuned to the Gaonim and other Rishonim. He'll synchronize Ashkenazi Rishonim and Svarog Rishonim, he'll quote Rashi and quote Tosfos, and then he'll veer off into a Svarog Rishonim. And he had a lot of contact with the Balei Tosfos of his day through some of his Rebbeim. So his writing, his Torah, the Masorah of Torah, he begins the synthesis in his writing. And then there's an entirely different profile of the Rambam, not different in terms of contrasting, but additional, and his involvement in three major, major events of his period. Number one, the Rambam controversies. In the second wave of controversy, where the Chachmei Provence were drafted to put the Rambam in Cherem, and the big arguments led by Rabbeinu Yonah, and he wrote letters to both sides, a peacemaker, trying to defend the Rambam, but agree with some of the criticisms. And it's very interesting because he disagreed with some of what the Rambam wrote, but accredited the Rambam's writings. In the end, he says the Mordechim should be studied, the Mordechim, but not with that many people. He should study privately. But you see the synthesizer trying to synthesize and reconcile two, I say, warring parties, two opposing parties. Then the second major event he's involved in is in the 1260s. In 1263, he's involved in the famous disputation in Barcelona. It happens in the summer of 1263. Paulus Christiani, a Jew who had converted to Christianity, and in, I think, on four or five successive days, the Rambam debates Catholicism, Christianity, with, and then the king participates in this debate, and the Rambam is obviously given intellectual freedom, freedom of expression, but it's a hostile crowd. Some of the days, Jews aren't even allowed to attend. And the Ramban wins this, and the king actually comes, the king of Spain, I think at that point it's Catalonia, comes to speak in shul. He gives a drasha in shul, and the Ramban gets up and refutes part of the drasha, respectfully, but in front of the king. And the king awards the Ramban with 300 gold pieces, and the Ramban then writes or either delivers a drasha called Taras Hashem Tamima, in which he restores the spirit of the people who are still reeling from all these attacks and theological attacks. And unfortunately, his victory was Pyrrhic, but it was short-lived because they continued, his opponents continued to rile up anger and discontent against him, even reaching the Pope. And at some point, he had to leave. And he ran in 1267 to the third part of his life, to Israel. And he gets to Israel and he arrives in Akko. And why this is so iconic is A, because so few people moved to Israel in those days. It's especially reverberant because the Ramban is the Rishon, one of the only, if not the only Rishon, who counts living in Israel as part of the Taryag Mitzvot's famous dispute between himself and the Rambam. Again, I should say, one of the genres of Sfarim he wrote comments to the Rambam's Sefer Mitzvot, but not just comments, but an alternate list of Mitzvot with not that many differences, I would say about 40 differences, 40, 45 differences. But he did tussle with the Rambam's Sefer Mitzvot and his categorization of what counts as a Mitzvah. It's an iconic arrival because he actually gets to Yerushalayim and to Hebron, and he describes the desolation of Yerushalayim and the ghost town of Yerushalayim. He couldn't even gather a minion together. It's iconic because he builds a shul in Yerushalayim. There's great debate whether the current base HaKnesses of the Ramban in Yerushalayim is what he built. It probably isn't, but he probably built somewhere nearby. It's iconic because he had to leave Yerushalayim because he couldn't survive in Yerushalayim, so he goes back to Akko. It's iconic because he delivers a drasha in Akko or in Rosh Hashanah of 1269, I think it was. So these are three major events of the 13th century that this towering scholar is involved in. Number one, the Rambam controversies. Number two, the Barcelona disputation of 1263, which happened at the Rambam Controversies were in the late 1350s, late 1250s. In the late 1263 is the disputation, and then 1267 he runs Yerushalayim, and he dies. He passes in 1270. So this is the Ramban, Rabbeinu Moshe ben Nachman, 13th century Spain.